We're going to focus on that passage from Hebrews today. And I want to back up a little bit and give you the text that precedes today's reading. The way that the 11th chapter of Hebrews begins. The New Revised Standard Version says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteousness, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." As we begin this emphasis on Christian stewardship, as we do every year about this time, as we will always do in every church I ever am privileged to serve, I want you to know in this moment how important your faithfulness and generosity has been to this church in this year of economic crisis. In spite of the economy and the uncertainty that it has thrust upon each and every one of us, your giving of time and talent and treasure has allowed this congregation to remain strong. In a year when 7 major congregations in the Detroit Annual Conference declared early that they will not pay 100% of their apportionments, this church has remained current with its apportionment contributions all through this year. And we are presently up to date with our apportionment payments and on track to pay 100% of our apportionments by the end of December. We have increased our giving to missions. We are on track to raise an additional $5,000 for the Heifer Project as a part of our 175th anniversary celebration. Just this week, 3 of us met again with our brothers and sisters from Marysville United Methodist Church and St. Clair United Methodist Church, and with Aubrey Mayhew from Blue Water Habitat for Humanity, and set a course for a United Methodist Habitat build in 2010. We will be rehabbing an existing home, but we are on board together, our 3 churches, to do this for the very first time. All of this we have done because of your faithfulness. We have completed and dedicated a wonderful renovation to our parking lot and to our building. What a joy it was last week to roll that out for people who had not been here for such a long time. The beauty of our facility is now an encouragement to the entire neighborhood. How wonderful and what a joy it is to see the efforts of Bob Beaton and others who have made our grounds so stunningly beautiful this time of the year. The Kids Discovery Network this summer was once again fully funded, and a wonderful outreach to the children in our neighborhood that has continued now for 5 years. All of this made possible because of your generosity. All of that has to do just with the treasure aspect of it. Consider as well your generosity when it comes to time and talent. Take a look at that tree of service out there in the hallway. It is filled with hundreds of leaves representing the hundreds of ways that you are giving of your time and talent. I want us each to understand that what we do in this life is motivated out of our faith and our desire to serve. And you have gotten the message. Dozens of people have worked countless hours making this year of celebration one to remember for years to come. Janet Curtis has overseen the creation of an exceptional keepsake book chronicling the history of our church. I certainly hope you have made that book a part of your household. And there are things that have sprung forward spontaneously out of, I think, a spirit of adventure that has taken hold and brought unexpected events, things that are add-ons because people are excited. So, next week, we are hosting a concert by the Four Freshmen, and the house will be packed. And last May, we had an opportunity to bring Ken Miedema in here to raise money for Habitat for Humanity, and the house was packed. And what a wonderful and joyful event that was. These are things that have just sprung up because of spirit. I lift all of this before you this day as a way of saying that as we begin once again a study of Christian stewardship, we do so in this moment not out of a sense of desperation, but out of a sense of joy at the work that God has put in place in this congregation. What a thrill! What a joy it is to be among you these days. The items I have listed in my litany before you are all made possible because of your commitment to Jesus Christ and the ministries of this church. We focus on stewardship because we want to continue to grow together in all aspects of the Christian life. We want to continue the progress we have made. So, let us begin. To lead a God-pleasing life, faith is the foundation. Stewardship, I have always believed, is an issue of faith and discipleship, not an issue of desperation. We should never be in front of a congregation saying, "Please give because the church needs the money." Give because God has given to you. You know by now that I understand faith as a radical trust in God. So wonderfully illustrated by Nancy's message to the children this morning. You don't have to know how it works, but it's there, and you trust it. Faith is living in the confidence that God will sustain us through whatever life may send our way. This congregation, I believe, is no different than any other congregation I have ever served. We will be in ministry to the extent that our faith allows it. That is the only thing that ever holds a church back. I have never known a congregation that did not support whatever they were convinced God had placed before them. I have known other congregations that have grown so vague in their faith that they no longer saw themselves as agents of God. And I can tell you now that those congregations are always in trouble. Always in trouble. They are in trouble because they have lost sight of who and whose they are. Their expectations are low, and their sense of the obstacles before them is acute. When the faith of a congregation is strong, the church possesses a sense of purpose and drive. People are invested in the completion of the mission of the church. Expectations are high, and the obstacles in front of them are recognized early and dispensed with quickly. That is my vision for this church. That together we should build a congregation of people with a keen sense of being God's agents in this time and in this place. That we should be bound together by our deep emotional and spiritual investment in these ministries. That we should live with high expectations and the confidence that when God has called us to a task, God will also provide through us what is necessary to see the task to completion. If we can do this together and with God's help, we will always find that money and the other resources we need no longer pose a problem. The real issue has never been money. The real issue has always been faith and discipleship. Our willingness to live in a radical trust in God. So I like the way that Hebrews 11 begins in the New Revised Standard Version. That's why I lifted it before you, even though it wasn't called for in today's reading. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Put that over against the translation from the New International Version, which translates the Greek as saying this: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That doesn't do it for me, you see. Faith is not the same thing as certainty. In fact, I believe that it can be a quest for false certainty that can work against living in faith. Faith has much more to do with confidence in things that cannot be seen than it does with certainty. I have worked hard in my life to focus not on certitude, but on confidence. God calls us to a life of confidence because God knows full well that life is never certain. Christianity is often presented as a life where certainty can be obtained. I suppose there are times in each of our lives when that becomes an attractive sort of thing. Those times when the world is changing so fast or falling apart in front of us that we need to grab onto something. But certainty has to do with knowing exactly what to do, what is right, who is wrong, who is in, who is out, what is good, what is bad, what to do, what not to do. But I have found precious little certainty in life. I have strongly held convictions, and my opinions are certainly there, and I've worked hard on sorting those out, and I must ultimately act according to my best convictions, and I believe that each of us should do so. But there is no certainty that I alone am right. Take this church, for example. I am convinced that our future is bright, and I am willing to bear considerable personal risk on that bright future. And so are many of you. You have demonstrated that in many ways, but there is no guarantee in this endeavor. We may end up where we all hope we want to be, or we may not. We may end up in some better place that we've never even foreseen, or we might, in fact, fail altogether. It is, after all, a human endeavor. There is no certainty, but there is confidence and assurance. I have confidence and assurance that God is with us in this endeavor and that it is worth my full investment. I live with the conviction that a magnificent Christian congregation was established in this church 175 years ago and continues through this day and on into the future. Faith as confidence, a radical trust in God, requires discipline. Scripture tells us that our biblical ancestors allowed ample room for doubt and misdirection and confusion. There's that list in Hebrews of all those faithful forebearers. But the full story is that they had plenty of doubt and uncertainty in that journey. The story of Abraham and Sarah makes that abundantly clear. Misdirection, confusion was the hallmark of their sojourning. But there are faith disciplines that are offered to us that can help us. They were given as a way to see us through the doubts and the fears and the questioning and keep us on God's track. Regular worship attendance, meditation, prayer, fasting, hospitality, simplicity, study, and generous living. These are all tools of serious Christians. They have worked for centuries as we seek to set our hearts and minds on God's agenda and purpose. These practices are intended to keep us, to help us remain clear about who and whose we are. So these weeks ahead are about growing as Christian disciples and remembering to whom we belong. This is about learning to live with confidence in an uncertain world and putting God's agenda before our own. Faith is the foundation of generous living. This is about giving ourselves over to something greater than ourselves for the sake of fulfilling God's perfect vision for the world. There are no guarantees. But whatever way it turns out, God will love us through it all. Thanks be to God.